those are scary conversations because here's why. He might say, well, screw you, then I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
But right now he said, screw you, I'm in.
That is such a perspective shift on marriage, on the situation. Screw you, I'm out. Screw you, I'm in. Because I think people are afraid to have those tough conversations because you don't want to rock the boat. But like the boat's already rocking is what he's saying.
Grow yourself and grow your marriage.
Chris and Jonna here with the Grow Yourself, Grow Your Marriage podcast. On today's episode, we are going to react to a clip, a series of clips from John Delaney from the Dave Ramsey Network. He is a counselor, an author, all the things. He has great advice, but we're going to affirm some of it, pick some of it apart, all the good things. But before we do, I have a confession to make.
Yeah?
I'm going bald. Bald.
Stop.
Like bald. Like my hair is thinning. I'm 33. All I know is if I'm going bald, I'm going to be rich and ripped. That's the compensation.
I know. As a man, I really like your look. I didn't even like when you cut your hair short. I like your hair long.
I know, but as a man who is beginning to recede of the hairline, and as a man who is beginning to see he's going bald,
you're not going, Chris. You're not going bald.
I have to dominate in other areas of my life. I probably should have put like family leadership first,
right?
But for some reason, when you look in the mirror and you see your hair is thinning as an old man.
As an old, you were 33.
I'm 33, I know, which I feel like God's timing is way off here. But when you look in the mirror and you see the travesty of potential baldness, you quickly realize you must compensate. So Ripped and Rich is my future.
Ripped and Rich.
Yeah, dude.
Start a podcast called Ripped and Rich.
Ripped and... That's actually not a bad idea.
As a result of going bald and gray. You're graying too.
That'd be my fifth podcast.
You know, I just thought of, let's talk about double standards for a minute of women and men, because I just thought of how I like rag on you about that and how I don't really want you to go bald, because, you know, you have to have a certain shape head and a certain look about you to pull off a bald head, right?
Yeah.
Like there's some people who look really good bald. I would not look very good bald. I have a big head. I just
okay. Wait, who looks really good bald?
There's like attractive men that look good bald.
Mr. Clean.
Yeah, Mr. Clean is doing it. He cleans and he's bald and he's ripped and rich. There you go.
He is ripped and rich. Okay.
No, but like there's even women that I've seen that maybe are going through cancer or something who are like truly still beautiful without their hair.
Demi Moore was quite attractive in G.I. Jane.
See, ripped and rich.
Ripped and rich.
That's the key to being attractive, okay, bald.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Men who go bald and then lose themselves in terms of their physical body, like, okay, now I have a gut and now I don't really care and I'm also not trying to I don't know, just improve because I'm just really depressed. I'm not going to let that happen to me. And The reason I'm airing this out early is because I don't know.
Accountability.
Really, yeah, accountability. There you go. I need accountability to be ripped and rich. And I don't mind if people hear this who know me and they're like, I'm going to check and see if Chris is going bald next time. And they're just looking at my receding hairline. It's fine. Like, whatever. Life happens. Okay.
Look, you got a lot of people to take care of.
Freaking
and
annoyed, though.
We stress you out. I believe it. Oh, I didn't even get to say what I was going to say about double standards.
Okay, go ahead.
It's funny because I'm saying that, but you know darn good and well if you were like, yeah, if you gain any more weight, I'm out. You know what I mean? Like, you got to lose weight for me to stay attracted, or you got to be rich.
Ain't that the truth?
Rich and beautiful hair or something, you know?
No, that's 100% the truth. Because,
but don't ever say that.
No, it's so true. But the fact that you always said you'd leave me if I went bald.
I never thought you would. Your dad has really good hair, so I thought that was a safe thing to say.
Feels so much more harsh now.
And your brother's hair was receding earlier, so I was like, nah, I got the one that's going to have his dad's hair.
That's not even fair. Like, I've always had the upper edge on just a better overall face than my brother, you know? And now if I go bald, like just in the middle of my head, oh my gosh, I'm gonna look like a pedophile.
Oh my gosh, please stop.
Oh Lord, please.
We will be getting you hair implants.
Oh dude, see, ripped and rich. And then once I get rich,
you get hair implants.
I've already looked at how much the surgery is. It's like, between $6,000 and $15,000. I guess it depends on who you go to. But I say all of that to say that I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through it. Mm-mm. I don't want to.
Do you understand?
So wait, actually.
That none of this is eternal, though.
No, it's not eternal. But I need someone who's listening. If you began to go bald and you got ahead of it, please let me know what you did.
This is really an all call for hair place.
This is an all call.
That's okay. Lena told me I have a bald spot on the side of my head the other day. She's just rude, but I don't. But postpartum hair loss and stuff is a thing. So, you know, maybe this is a way to humble us because we used to think we were like a pretty good looking couple.
Oh, it hurts. Yeah, it sucks. But it's fun. At least I have control over ripped and rich.
Does being ripped get you into heaven?
I doubt it, but I know that, you know. Well,
your body's a temple.
Actually,
I was waiting for you to correct
When you go to heaven, you get a new body. And so I'll just get ahead of it for the Lord. He won't have to give me a new body.
There you go.
Because my body will be so good here. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, you're good. Actually, I don't have to do any more work. And in fact, he might just be like, yeah, come on in. Because you're going to be one of the easier ones to deal with.
And he'll restore your hair.
And he'll restore my hair. Hair grow.
I hope that's not what the Lord's voice sounds like.
Have you ever heard that Kenneth Copeland clip?
Oh, that is what you said. Oh my gosh, that's what you were saying.
Okay, guys. So there's this prosperity gospel preacher, and he literally stands in front of his congregation and has like the most ridiculous things. It's so funny.
Terrifying, honestly.
And you know what? I'm pulling it up.
Pull it up. While you pull it up, I'll talk about how I heard this person on a podcast talking about a stat that most good podcasts are ruined with the podcasters who banter the first few minutes of the show.
False.
False. Have we ruined our show by bantering? Or sometimes do you just need some casual conversation and laughs to ease you into the hard topics? All right.
All right. Hang on. Here's Mr. Kenneth Copeland and his solution to baldness.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Grab that and stick it in the mouth. Put your hand on your head like that. Bald spots, I call you gone. Hair! Grow! Healing is here. It is of glory to
this
God.
This is great.
Hallelujah. This is exactly what the best part is. The savagery of the cameraman zooming right in on the bald man.
I wrote this down before.
Oh,
sorry.
Zooming in with his hands on his head, just so hopeful. Please. Like, Lord, won't you do it?
So there's one guy who's like, I'm in for this. There's another guy who's like, I've tried everything, including Rogaine and Hims and all this different stuff. And he has his hands on his head, and he does not believe.
Uh-oh.
He...
Well, Kenneth, old Kenneth will tell you, just got to tithe a little bit more. Get you your... You know, honestly, this could turn into a conversation about being careful about who you listen to, because I doubt our audience listens to Kenneth Copeland, but maybe their grandparents do.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like grandmas fall into watching these people on TV.
If you're listening to this, you're like, who the heck is Kenneth Copeland? So he is he's a pastor...
Well, use that term.
Okay. He is
loosely.
He is a pastor for profit, and he's a prosperity gospel movement guy, and he is making millions of dollars off of people by telling them to like sow into the ministry. And he's actually been on national news before, probably in the last like 3 or 4 years, where he bought a jet from Tyler Perry. And some news lady interviewed him, and it was the most cringy interview you've ever seen in your entire life. And you can see in this guy's eyes, like he's not with the Lord. I was literally going to say
his eyes. You can usually tell, and I'm not even going to lie, it's a little demonic. His eyes are scary.
Yeah.
And I all that to say, be careful who you listen to. Yes, tithing is important.
Yes.
But you cannot pay a preacher for your blessings, okay? A TV preacher.
Very true. Now, I love that you said be careful who you listen to, because this episode, that's like the perfect segue.
Thank you. I didn't even know.
Nice job. So this episode, we're actually going to react to some clips from the John Delaney Show. And if you don't know who John Delaney is, he's a professional counselor, and he's written tons of books on like anxiety and things of that nature.
A Christian counselor. Mm-hmm.
And he's been brought onto the Dave Ramsey platform, and he has callers call in all the time about different things. And I really like him. He's cool. But we're going to listen to his responses to a caller that called in. So this girl's name was Emily, and she called in, and first she was kind of beating around the bush, and she was just like, okay, hey, Mr. John, I'm just wondering, like, how can I enjoy life more outside of work? And he was basically like, well, usually if you don't enjoy life outside of the work, it's because you're not happy outside of work. And he was kind of pulling it out of her and stuff. So it turns out that she was overworked, and she had admitted that her husband had left his job because he didn't like it, and then he was not actively searching for another job. So she's doing all the work. She's working, coming home, also in grad school, all this different stuff.
Volunteering.
Yeah, so she's doing all this stuff, and her husband is basically not doing anything. And so this first clip I'm going to play is 2 minutes, and it's his response. And then me and John are going to talk about, like, hey, yeah, like, cool. Let's talk about the things he said right, but also probably some things that maybe he missed off the cuff.
Yeah. Well, something I've learned in the last, 5 years of marriage is I can't make him. So what is your advice? How do I help him?
I think there's a couple. You're exactly right. And the fact that you learned this in the first 5 years means you are way ahead of most marriages, which is awesome. It took me like 20 years to figure that out. All right. Here's a couple of things. One, I want you to spend some time being very honest with Emily. And right now you have spent a lot of time being a mother to your husband. And when you're a mom to your husband, I'm going to say this. I know it sounds gross. I've gotten some flack in the past, but I don't care. It's true. No mom wants to have sex with their son.
Mm-hmm.
No mom wants to have intimate relations with their son outside of sex.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't want to come home and have a third job or a fourth job after grad school and your service to your community and your never-ending teaching job.
Mm-hmm.
And your fourth job is caring for this giant infant adult. And I'll go one step further. If he does have some significant depressive issues, those are real.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this isn't the moment for him to get a job. This is the moment that he gets his butt into care.
Yeah.
Just sitting at home on your phone is a no-go. And so I want you to be honest for the first time in a long time. I want you to write down in a notebook, I've lost respect for my husband because I saw him face adversity and I saw him bow out.
Because mm-hmm.
your body feels that. You got to be honest with yourself, okay? And I think you have to stop apologizing for being frustrated and stop apologizing for feeling burnt out. You know what burnout is? It's when your body says, I quit, because you're not getting the message.
All right, so in this clip, he's laying on pretty thick in terms of how he feels about her husband. He does mention that kind of like weird comparison of a mother not wanting to obviously have sex with their son, which is true. And he calls him a big baby and all this different stuff. But what do you have written down there?
The point you just made, I was going to talk about that.
Oh, sorry. Did I just take your point?
Well, you mentioned that no mother wants to. Yeah. It feels cringy. It feels kind of ick to hear him even verbalize it like that.
Right.
But it made me think, I mean, it really is true. And you see so many relationships. Where do a lot of marriages struggle? In their intimate life, right?
Sure.
But where do you see women complaining a ton about their spouses, you know, in Facebook groups and stuff like that? What do you usually see them complaining about? They're complaining about the ways that they're not showing up as a provider, as a helpmate, or, well, we're the helpmate, but, you know, as a father, as a parent, as a just productive human of in society. This guy clearly is depressed and or selfish, or all of the above. And I guarantee if he's not working and he quit his job because he didn't enjoy it, he probably plays a lot of video games. I think she mentioned that he kind of just sits on his phone. I would assume, and maybe she said it during here, it's been a little while since we actually listened to this whole thing, that he's not helping around the house or anything, because she's insinuated and she tries to be, I actually appreciate her. She does try to be gentle with not, you know, bashing her spouse.
Yeah.
But all those things are really unattractive. It's really unattractive, sure, to feel like you're pulling all the weight. And if we look at our God-given roles, he's not fulfilling his.
Yes.
And I believe that God obviously made us to fulfill these roles, and like they go together. They go hand in hand.
Right.
If he's showing up as a man and as a provider and all these things, I guarantee you, their intimate life falls,
sure,
in line, you know? And so,
yeah.
I don't know, that was a long-winded way to say a lot of women aren't wanting to be intimate with their husbands because their husbands aren't fulfilling their roles.
Yes. So something he mentions is when your husband faces adversity and bows out, you lose.
Because you don't feel protected.
Mm.
You don't feel protected or provided for if you see the man who's supposed to protect you and provide for you not doing either of those things. So it's like, you know, people lose their jobs, people go through adversity, and not everybody knows how to handle those things. But if you're not handling any of those things with any, you know, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You lose respect.
Absolutely. And a bit of advice that he offers is he says, open your journal and write down, I have lost respect for my husband and yada, yada, yada. Now I would change that a little bit, mm-hmm, and I would suggest, like, look, first off, Deloney's a Christian, but he very rarely brings up God on the Ramsey Show, which is annoying, but whatever. It's a huge audience. I guess he's trying to just like lock him in. Maybe he talks about it in his books. I don't know. But he said, write it in a journal. It'll make you feel better. And I know for a fact that bringing something like that to God in a prayer journal is far more effective.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand the offering of advice that doesn't include biblical wisdom from a Christian, because I think at the end of the day, we know that's only going to get you so far. Maybe her venting it out and not taking it to him first will help her. But yeah, at the end of the day, our advice would have been, sure, write it out in a prayer journal. Pray to God, give your marriage, surrender your wants and desires for your spouse to the Lord, and look for fulfillment in him, and pray for your husband, because she did make the point that she has realized that she cannot change him. And Deloney is right. I mean, to learn that within the first 5 years of marriage is important, because I think so often we look for the fulfillment that only the Lord can give in our spouses, and then they come up short, obviously. And then it results in this just having a unhappy home life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's move on to the second clip here. And this is actually advice that we disagree with.
The next step is not to go bomb him with these things. That's not fair to anybody. Okay. What is fair is you sitting at the table and saying the following. Here are the boundaries I'm drawing. Here's what I'm going to do moving forward. I am going to go see a counselor because I have a husband that refuses to get work. I am going to fill in the blank. If I come home and you have not applied for a single job today and you've sat here on your phone, I am going to take myself out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? This is not bombing him with, you need to do this, you need to do this, because that hasn't worked. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's you being very clear about, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to continue to work hard. I'm going to begin to eat a little healthier. I'm not going to wallow around and be mad at you and then be mad at myself for being mad at you. And that spiral, you know that spiral I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, oh yeah, I live that all the time. All right. I threw a lot at you. Tell me what you're feeling on the way back.
I'm feeling, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little worried that it's nothing's going to change.
Okay. But nothing's changing.
Yeah. 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 You know, and as you're mentioning, I think these are great steps just to take care of me because that's really all I can do. I know that.
Okay. So at first glance, you hear that and you're like, yeah, it's true. She should take care of her.
Grow yourself, grow your marriage,
right? Like you should definitely take care of you. There's nothing wrong with the action, but you and I have an issue with the separation of saying like, you know what? I'm going to do these things and I'm going to make myself better. First off, just go do it. You don't have to sit there and go in front of your spouse and say, like, I'm going to improve myself because you're a slob and you're not improving yourself. Just do it and let the results fall where they may, number one. But the biggest thing, like I said, is this further separates them as a couple and it completely ignores biblical marriage.
In Ecclesiastes 4, it talks about the threefold cord is not easily broken. So that's the husband, the wife, and God. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. So with that scripture, does it sound like Delaney's telling her this is how you help your spouse up? To me, I think it further puts him down by demasculinizing him by saying, I'm going to take my money and I'm going to go out to dinner by myself because you're not worthy because you're not providing. And the world might applaud that.
They might.
The world might applaud that. Like, yep, you do you, girl. You go take care of yourself, pamper yourself. Who cares about him? And I don't think there's biblical evidence that that's the right thing to do. I think, like you said, yes, grow yourself, grow your marriage. Go take care of yourself because you cannot change him. Pray for your spouse in the meantime. But continue to selflessly love him, even though it's hard, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so you...
Oh, sorry, go ahead. You go.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say about the therapy part too, but...
No, yeah.
I was just going to say also, I don't think it's a bad thing for her to get therapy because this is obviously hard, but I would really caution her on who she seeks counseling from because of... the advice to quickly just be probably something like that. Like you do you, and honestly just divorce him. You're not happy. That's the culture of divorce we have these days. Like if he doesn't make you happy,
right.
Go right. Live your life.
Exactly. Exactly. So one, you nailed it when you said pray for your spouse. And the biggest thing here is number one, numero uno, like seriously, this is the top dog. It is fervently praying that God would change the heart of your spouse. Period. Now, of course, we advise a conversation. We've talked about this before, uncomfortable conversations. But the conversation is not, you're not doing this, so I will fold your arms, walk away. Mm-hmm. The conversation is surrounded by a conversation around vision, right? So what does life look like? Okay, let's say we're in this position and I leave my job, not trying to do anything. John is working full time. This is pre all the children we've had, and you ask me a question like, babe, what does life look like in the next 5 years if we keep doing what we're doing? Mm-hmm. That is an open-ended question that we can have a discussion. Now, maybe I say, I don't know. But you can still poke and prod a little bit, right? You're like, no, really. Like, time's going to pass. It's going to pass. So what are we going to do with this time? And if we keep doing what we're doing, what does life look like? Like, where's our spiritual life? Where is our intimate life? Where is our financial life? Like, all of these different things. It breeds conversation. And then the next question becomes, are you happy with that? Mm-hmm. Why or why not? You know what I mean? Like, some people don't have vision.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I would say there's probably somebody listening that's like, but Chris, you don't understand. My spouse just won't talk. Like, he doesn't communicate. He won't open up. He's depressed. There's no kind of back and forth like that. You know, what do you do for that spouse who's just honestly probably prideful and annoyed sure. that the wife would even be like trying to have a conversation like that?
Yeah. I mean, you at least have to ask.
Right.
You at least have to ask and see if they're going to entertain the conversation. And if they don't, and they're just like, I don't know, that's dumb, then you know you're at a point where you probably need to obviously continue to pray, but seek professional help. But I don't ever think the help should be, let's detach from my marriage as a first step.
I agree.
Okay, so next clip.
Yeah, hopefully he'll get the message. But yeah, we've had conversations before where, you know, I talk with him and we kind of go over plans that we had when we first got married. And then it, by the end of it, I feel like we're in agreement. And then, you know, 6 months down the road, I look back and nothing's changed.
Well, and have you sat down and said, I feel like you have not been honest with me. I feel unloved in this home. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I love you and I always want to have sex with you and I've had four beers. What do you mean? And you can say, because we made some agreements. And you've chosen to not uphold your end of those agreements, which leaves me all alone.
Yeah.
And those are scary conversations because here's why. He might say, well, screw you, then I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
But right now he said, screw you, I'm in.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Wow. I mean, that is such a perspective shift on marriage, on the situation. Screw you, I'm out. Screw you, I'm in. Because I think people are afraid to have those tough conversations because you don't want to rock the boat. But like, the boat's already rocking is what he's saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what's interesting about what he said is he was saying, make this statement. We made agreements and you're not holding up your end of the bargain. I disagree. I think with someone who is depressed, broken, not open to this information in the first place, it becomes a question. Did we not make an agreement? You're still implying that it's a statement, but you're opening that up to them. Like, isn't marriage an agreement? I mean, what did you expect from me when you said I do? What was I supposed to expect from you? So start a conversation. Don't attack.
I agree with not attacking. I do feel, though, it is good for her to be able to come forward and use kind of the I statements we've talked about in the past of, I do not feel, or the story I'm telling myself is that I'm unloved or I feel lonely in this marriage. I think those are important things to express to her spouse because she sounds like a really kind, I don't want to rock the boat kind of woman because she really did not throw her husband under all this. And when Deloney comes at him, which I think deservedly with some of the things he's saying about him, she really still doesn't want to speak poorly of him, which I really think is the right thing. And so I think she probably has a hard time with confrontation.
Right.
And that's probably also why she keeps super busy outside of work so she doesn't have to, you know, deal with it.
Yeah. Now, she's biblically justified. So 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So it is a serious offense to be in the place where he's in.
Are you saying she's biblically justified for leaving him? Is that, what are you saying? Or she's biblically justified to be upset? I mean, I obviously agree with that.
So this kind of goes into a little bit more of a conversation that we weren't scripturally prepared for. But I will say I have been, so on another podcast I've been working on, we were talking about biblical justification for divorce. And Mike Winger does a really good job. It's like this 3-hour video where he breaks down on YouTube all the things in scripture. And the full takeaway is actually ends up being 3 A's because he's a pastor, right? So it ends up being adultery, abuse, and abandonment. Mm. And the adultery piece is clearly stated in scripture. You have biblical justification from adultery. The abuse part
is that, you know, God values his people. And so if they're living and they're not safe, that is a huge problem. And then the abandonment part is pretty similar to that. It's like, hey, it's your job to take care of. And I don't really think a wife can abandon her husband. She can abandon her kids, but can she abandon her husband? So I feel like it almost is directly pushed towards men in terms of abandonment, because men are supposed to be the providers. Mm-hmm. Which I'm saying that I'm not sitting here like 100% sure of what I'm saying. I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah. Well, we should link that Mike Winger episode.
Note that for me. Yeah.
Because I think that is a hot topic divorce is a hot topic in culture, but yes. I think Christians, yeah, in general, we've always all kind of just thought, okay, adultery is the only out. But I think I think you're right. I think there's other ways, because God values us as people, and
he
calls men to provide and protect.
Exactly. So we talk about the scripture, 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay. So the problem is not that this guy's not getting a job. The problem is he's neglecting his duty to provide for his family. And that is complete selfishness. And so that's why we're adamant about the first step, which is pray. You can't change a human heart. Only God can. Anything to add on that before we go to the next clip?
No, I concur.
I concur. All right.
What do I do in the case that because sometimes he'll get really frustrated and say, you know, oh, all these things that I do for you, I thought, you know, you loved me. Are you telling me that X, Y, and Z doesn't mean anything to you? Like he can get kind of defensive like that. What would you recommend I do?
Yeah, that's how children respond, right? Which is like, well, then I'm taking my ball and going home. Here's what you can say. You can say, I hear that you have chosen to try to love me in ways that you like, that make that you have chosen. I'm telling you what I need to feel loved in this home, in this marriage. Mm-hmm. Oh, so if I just make dinner for you? I never asked you to make dinner. That's a choice you made. I did ask you to get a job. I did ask you, if you're not working and you're just sitting here, that when we get home, the house is cleaned up and you're not just sitting there on your phone, play video games. Right? Because that's just all that is a look over here. Look over here, look over here, look over here. Mm-hmm. It's just a distraction. And here's, guys do it a lot. Women do it too. But guys do it a lot with, oh, I'm working all day. It was when my wife told me, I'm not asking you to do that.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to be here with me. Because I had the opposite problem. I was working 24 hours a day, 365. Mm-hmm. It was the opposite issue. And when I would come at her with what your husband does, just the opposite. Oh, I do this and this and this. And she's like, dude, I never asked for any of that. I asked for you. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh crap, I don't know how to do that. And then it was me, because I said I do. I had to go figure out that set of skills, and I had to go learn it and figure it out. Similarly on the other side. Oh, I do this and this and this. That's not what I asked. I asked that we build something together, and you said I do, and you said I'm in, and you're not. So here's what I'm gonna do. But if somebody throws those little temper tantrumy things, oh, you're just ungrateful. No, I'm talking about, it's just distraction.
That is, I mean, he literally articulated that in a masterful way. I agree with everything he said there.
I totally agree. Clearly the husband is gaslighting this wife and trying to make her feel bad, make her probably feel the conviction and the pain he has for what he's not doing. And I really like what he said about, you've chosen to love me in ways that you like, because isn't that the human nature?
That's good.
To try to only show love in ways that make you like, that are just easy for you. And honestly, it's not showing love. It's just selfishness. But
yeah,
takes me to the five love languages, because I think well-meaning couples struggle with that, with this is how I feel love, so this is how I show love, but the other person doesn't feel it that way. But that's why you have to be able to have a conversation. You know what I mean? You have to be able to talk these things through and talk expectations through and talk about the things that make you feel loved or the things that make you not feel loved. Not gaslight your spouse. That makes me
that makes
me frustrated.
Well, so I'm listening to that, and yes, I completely agree with that. I'm listening to that and realizing that someone could be listening to this. Like, I can listen to this and be like, yeah, I provide for my family. I don't struggle with this. I'm just going to talk about what this guy does. But what he just said there makes me realize that I love my family in ways that I want to love my family. And so the things that I miss, you know, it's like yesterday when I got home and my brain was still on business, and then Lola came up to me and was trying to show me something she did at school, and I wasn't paying attention. So in my mind, I'm like, nope, I'm still in provision mode. I'm, you know, making sure I'm getting everything going, and I have all this stuff in my brain. But you kind of reminded me, you're like, babe, listen to her. You know, like, you kind of try to help me snap out of it. And I realized that I'm always in provide, or discipline, or, you know, just parent your kids and things like that. But what the family needs from me that I don't give them enough of is ways that I'm not comfortable. So
I, ways that they feel.
Kids, I'm not comfortable being empathetic and sympathetic and all those things, but they need that. And you need that. And
that's good.
Time and presence and all that stuff. So him even just saying that was like, oh man, I feel like anybody can pull from that.
Yeah, that's good. It made me think of the parent who with their adult children or with their grandchildren make comments like, all I've done for you, you know, like expect to have no boundaries and no, you know, no confrontation because like I fed you your whole life. I diapered you. I changed you. I cared for you. You know what I mean? Like things that a parent's supposed to do. So that's kind of a aha. That's a hard hitting aha moment.
Yeah. For anybody. I feel like you can pull that clip and be like, am I loving somebody the way that I want to love them, or am I loving them the way that I'm called to love them?
That's good.
It is.
That's a good question.
Really, really good. Really good. So we'll wrap up his clips on that. You know, the bottom line here, and the reason we're bringing this up is he has good advice, but you can't miss the scriptural component. It's funny when people are like, yeah, why always have to throw God in this? Like, I remember one of our listeners messaged me. He's like, you know, I love your podcast, but you guys just throw God in too much. I'm like, bro, listen, that's literally like telling, you know, a factory who has an assembly line, like, why do you listen to Henry Ford when Henry Ford literally invented the assembly line? He is the author of marriage. And so we must seek him first, right? So Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Focusing on your spiritual life and relationship with God is what's going to provide a sense of purpose and fulfillment that transcends work and personal struggles. And so it's got to be intense prayer for your heart to change, for your spouse's heart to change, and bring it to God because he is the author of marriage.
That's good. So I just want to add on to that. What I was just thinking as you're reading that is Jesus is the bread of life. The word is the bread of life. And what's so cool, what's so interesting is the worldly, the like good pick me up tips, or maybe not good, but the tips that John Delaney gives are snacks. You know, they're unfulfilling calorie, empty calorie snacks that,
it's really good.
Yeah, this is good. This will help you. If you're really hungry, it'll help you for a little bit, but you're going to get hungry again.
Yeah.
But you need the bread of life to sustain you. So to sustain you in your marriage, you can't live on those snacks because you're constantly going to be in that cycle that she said she was spiraling in. You got to have God's word, and you got to have the bread of life to fulfill you and fulfill your marriage and sustain it.
Yeah, that's so good. And that makes me think of this. So let's imagine that she gets off that call with Delaney and she goes to her husband and she says the perfect thing, and he's ultra motivated by her saying, like, you're not holding up your end of the bargain, so I'm going to. So she goes and is focusing on her health, and she's cooking meals for herself, and she's She's getting to the gym. She's getting a personal trainer. She's really taking care of herself. She's like just really filling her cup, as we always talked about. Now we kind of push back at. Let's say he was like, okay, I'm motivated. I'm going to go get a job. So he goes to get a job. Now she no longer feels like she is holding the financial weight of the family. Okay. Does this really make them happy? Is this the solution to happiness? Because she called in, her first question was, how do I find happiness and fulfillment
outside of work?
How do I enjoy life outside of work? So her thing is, and the full takeaway of this is, if my husband got a job and I didn't feel the stress of financial weight, I would enjoy life more outside of the work. But really, is that the solution?
Honestly, what I think would happen is she would, and I have no idea what she looks like or what he looks like or anything, but it sounds like she would get a lot of confidence and independence because she would get used to, and like resentment building up. She would get used to doing things on her own and just like doing herself. And then honestly, they would probably end up splitting.
100%. 100%. Because money doesn't solve your problems. And that's what work would do. Now, would it show a piece of him being willing to provide? Yeah. And does work build character? Yes. But is that the problem?
But here? Is it suddenly all, is yeah. there all their communication problems, their intimacy problems, they're clearly not enjoying each other.
Right.
Does that get solved? So wait, are you saying if she's rich and ripped, doesn't solve the problem?
Well, that's her.
If he gets rich and ripped,
then we're in good shape. Yeah, no, but honestly, like seriously, if you pull this, if you take anything away from this episode, realize that, like you said it so well, it's a snack. She's calling in trying to sustain herself off of a snack. She's hoping that him getting a job and him providing more for the family is going to be the solution to all of their problems. But what it is, it's a heart issue. Mm-hmm. It's a heart issue on his part and on her part. Mm-hmm. And when the heart is fixed, which only God can fix because he's the author of marriage, that is the only way to have a strong, healthy marriage, because we've had money and we've had no money. And I would argue that our marriage is better in seasons with no money.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're depending on God. We're on our knees in prayer, knowing we're dependent on God, mm-hmm. and knowing that we are one.
Mm-hmm. We're in this together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to the heart. And once God regenerates your heart, the other things will fall into place. He will naturally, if God changes his heart, he will naturally feel conviction when he's not doing the things that God has called him to do. And she will naturally fall into her role as a wife better. Again, I have no idea where their hearts are. And honestly, all of this so much deeper than Delaney was able to take it on just a little call in. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you there's so many more layers of depth to why this man is not wanting to work and what's going on in their marriage. You know, I obviously assume there's probably a porn thing going on, and like just there's probably so many more layers that we don't even know about.
Maybe he's bald and he went and he got depressed.
That could be it.
I mean, to bring it all full circle.
If you're going bald, or if you know how to help Chris from going bald,
help.
Call us. We forget our number. Two, be careful who you listen to.
Yeah.
Even I think that's good, because I think when I first became a Christian, I'm going to wrap it up with this. When I first became a Christian, I just assumed anyone who had been a Christian longer than me was an authority that I could learn from. So when I first became a Christian, I would have assumed, even though I felt weird about what old pastor, preacher Kenneth Copeland was saying, I'd be like, well, he's a preacher, so okay, right. That must be how this works. Right. Or if I was like, oh, John Delaney, he's older than me, he's married, and he's a Christian.
He's an author, he's a counselor.
Like, I know? Right. I would just take his advice, you know? Yes. And I see people that I know as baby Christians coming into the faith, and yeah, just consuming because you're on fire and you want to know what to do, but you're listening to any and everyone who calls themselves a Christian, and that's a dangerous place to be. God calls us to line up what others are teaching with scripture and check it. And honestly, the more you grow in your faith, the more your heart is changed, the more the Holy Spirit will kind of nudge you when something's not wrong.
Yeah.
Even, you know, because humans are fallible. So even the best pastor could say something. And I've found myself now like, like, you know, my gut, which I believe is the Holy Spirit. It's like, check that against scripture. And so you can hear these things that he's saying as a Christian and author and a very wise man, I believe. Like, I think a lot of his advice is good.
Absolutely.
But check it against scripture, because I believe that what we said is accurate and more in line with God's word.
Yeah. Nothing more to be said, darling. Nice work.
Thanks so much for listening to the Grow Yourself, Grow Your Marriage podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe and share the show.